Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you all for joining us on today's edition of Light Upon Light. We are honored to be the guests of your houses today on a very, very auspicious occasion, which is the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was proclaimed as Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Eid al-Mab'ath. Please accept my congratulations. I would like to introduce our very well-known guest, Dr. Radia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you again. Always lovely to have programs with you, to have chats with you.
I have to be thankful.
And Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you too.
Okay, so today is Eid al-Mab'ath. It is the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was selected and proclaimed as Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you tell us what the meaning of Mab'ath is? And maybe just a few minutes about how this event of Mab'ath took place, how the Prophet was informed about his prophethood.
Yeah, I wish we could see what is going on beyond this material life, you know, like ma wara al-tabi'a in alam al-malakut, in unseen world. This day is the most important day in the history of human being. Mm-hmm. We don't know the meaning of khatimun nabiyyin, the final,
seal
the most, prophethood. And we don't know the actual meaning of ba'tha. Therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he talks about ba'tha, you know, about the prophethood, the time of prophethood of our prophet, he would literally say, laqad manna. You know, this is something, you know, Allah is just,
honoring me.
Honoring and telling people that you have to, you know, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You don't know what I'm giving to you. Mm-hmm. You know, as the prophethood of our prophet is something, you know, which can be so much, which is definitely very, very visible and tangible for all the creation, because the way Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Prophet is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, and we don't know the meaning of Rahma. If you compare the time of this era after prophethood with the time of before prophethood, you know, if we ask to jinn, to malaika, to angels, they would know, you know, because they could see the tangible change in the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The way Allah is sending his mercies after the ba'sat of Rasulullah is totally different. Mm. So I remember my teachers, they would talk beautifully, and I can't describe, but I have that feelings, you know. Therefore, even whenever I say ba'sat, you know, Ba'tha, ba'th, we all know the meaning, the one of the literal meaning and lughavi meaning of this word is to give hayat and life. You know, like literally we are having a true life. We are
like reviving.
Exactly after the prophethood of our prophet, definitely. And then, you know, we feel that what is the meaning of life, and look at his rahmah, his mercy, that he's keep telling everyone that who am I, why I'm here as a prophet, you know, what is my mission. Then one of the very outstanding thing, which is unfortunately again not very, very common in some countries, it's common cultures, but in many cultures I know it's not common, is that he would say, I have brought the deen, the religion, which is samhatu sahla. How do you describe samhatu sahla?
So I guess easy and compromising.
Exactly. Can you believe it? And then people, they say, oh, the scholars, the ulama, the religious people are so strict and so narrow-minded and can't live with them. They're not easygoing. Literally, this hadith is a very, very authentic hadith, you know. Mm-hmm. And samha means just you have to compromise according to the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the deen of comfort, you know, right. The religion of comfort. And the way Prophet is saying, it's so fascinating that I have brought samha. You people don't have samha in your life. Mm-hmm. You are so strict to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I am there to fix your problems. comes. So deen never brings problems, never brings strictness, never, you know, brings something which you say, oh, now I'm just born with this, you know, sharia and limits. No, it's totally opposite. So totally you will feel that, wow, you know, after being connected to deen of Rasulullah, Islam, you know, I can have sahla in my life, ease and comfort in my life, because this sharia, this whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's all based, you know, the foundation is sahla, is samha. It's so beautiful. And this is the time we have to just, you know, highlight these areas of deen,
yeah,
because we are having so many attacks,
yeah,
on, you know. So this is a time we have to just, you know, tell everyone in detail that what does sahla means, what does samha means, because
especially among the young generation, you know, so many of the youth who are turning away from religion, they're saying there's too many don'ts and don'ts and don'ts, and it's just we can't do it anymore. I'm gonna pause our discussion here to stay tuned. We're gonna go for a very short break, and then we'll be right back with our discussion. This is Light Upon Light. Don't go away.
Being from the line of Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, Prophet Muhammad enjoys an ancestry of entirely monotheistic forefathers. Both parents of the Holy Prophet, Abdullah and Amina, were monotheists. Before the Prophet's birthday, his father Abdullah passed away, and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, who was the most respected man in Mecca, became the guardian of the young Muhammad. Shortly after the Prophet was born, he was given to a nurse who lived in a community in the outskirts of Mecca. At the age of 6, Amina, the Prophet's mother, died, and in just 2 years later, the Holy Prophet lost his guardian and grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Then, Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle and the father of Imam Ali, became the guardian of the God's Messenger. At the age of 25, the Holy Prophet married Khadija, who was 28 and from a monotheist family. Lady Khadija was never married to another man, and for her considerable wealth, all famous Arab men wished to marry her, but she refused all her suitors. However, she proposed to the Holy Prophet and they were married. Before the emergence of Islam, Lady Khadija was famous with titles such as the Pure and Honorable. By the age of 40, the Holy Prophet was given the mission to transmit the message of Islam. The first two people who believed in this message were Imam Ali and Lady Khadija. For 3 years, this message was only conveyed in secret and private sessions, but after this period, the Holy Prophet made his first public statement to the chieftains of Quraysh tribe. In this statement, the Holy Prophet revealed Islam to those chieftains and announced Imam Ali as his rightful successor, but this declaration was let down by those chieftains. This was the very year that the Holy Prophet was ascended to the skies to witness the heavens and angels. The idol worshippers of Mecca employed different approaches to stop the Holy Prophet. They used tortures against the newborn Muslim community and tried to bribe the Holy Prophet to relinquish his claim as the Messenger of God. But when they saw their efforts are in vain, they decided to boycott the Muslims both in social and economic terms. In order to ease tensions and by the suggestion of Abu Talib, the Muslims left the city and decided to live in a place called Shi'b Abi Talib. After this period, the parchment holding the boycott declaration was eaten by white ants, and this incident was followed by the request of Abu Talib to end the boycott. Due to the unbearable life conditions in those years of boycott, the Prophet's best helper and assistant, Lady Khadija, and his guardian Abu Talib passed away. The Prophet named this year the year of grief for the loss of these two great Islamic personalities. The loss of these two great supporters of Islam escalated the threats to the life of the Holy Prophet in Mecca. Therefore, the Prophet and Muslims decided to migrate to the city of Medina. With his arrival in Medina, the Holy Prophet built a mosque and named it the Prophet's Mosque. And then he settled the disputes between the Jews and the different tribes in the city. The Prophet also developed a charter to grant equal rights to all citizens of Medina and guarantee the security of all groups of people, including the Jews. In this year, and by a divine decree, Imam Ali married Lady Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet. The 10th year after migration marks the last year of the Prophet's life, when the Holy Prophet performed the Hajj rituals for the last time in what was later famous as the Farewell Hajj. In this year, the Prophet gathered all the Muslims in a pond called Khum and declared that he will depart this world in just a few days. In this public statement, the Prophet once again introduced Imam Ali as his rightful successor and asked the people to pay allegiance to him and celebrate this blissful occasion. The Prophet's words were, "Those present should deliver this message to those absent, and the fathers should pass on this message to their next generations until the Day of Judgment." In just 70 days after this declaration, the Holy Prophet suspiciously passed away at the age of 63 in Holy Medina. He was then buried in his own house while the people broke their allegiance with Imam Ali and abandoned the Prophet's last orders.
Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Congratulations, Eid Mubarak to all of you on the occasion of the auspicious selection of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as the seal of prophethood and rahmatun lil alameen to mankind. I hope that inshallah we can live up to the title of being the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The program is Light Upon Light. Dr. Najafi, so we were talking about the fact that the Prophet came to bring ease and comfort through the religion of Islam for the people and not difficulty. So what about the personality of the Prophet? Let's talk a little bit about that, because this person who is selected as Rahmatun lil Alameen, you know, and the more I talk about this the personality of the Prophet, I guess the most thing that comes to my mind is scenes from the movie Muhammad Rasulullah, the one that is made by Majid Majidi, and I think he did a great job, you know, representing the early stages of his childhood, that even from his childhood he was showing unique features of, like, saying no to superstition and you know, like, not involving into void activities that maybe sometimes children do. So can you tell us a little bit about the personality of the Prophet and how this personality was just fit for bringing us to Ummatu Wahida, the united Ummah that inshallah we will accomplish one day?
Yeah. When you were asking this question, I was just thinking about this hadith, like, you know, that Prophet, he would say, like, "Hayati khairun lakum wa mamati khairun lakum," because I'm just missing him. I'm just thinking that how come I can't have any maybe physical, you know, meeting with him? How come I'm deprived from visiting my Rahmatul Lil Alameen? He's my Nabi, my Prophet. But unfortunately, we as a lover of our Prophet, we never seen even one of his companion.
Yeah.
You know, you never seen one of I don't know anyone who's really
who
close to him.
Exactly.
But the way he said, maybe he said to us that Hayati khairul lakum, you know, I'm the source of goodness and a rahma for you in my during my life, and the same way mamati khairul lakum, you know, if you're just missing me out, just, you know, my presence is there. You know how one of the just, I want to give this point that, you know, then we can do the tawassul. You know, this is so important on this very happy occasion. Just give to yourself few minutes, you know, just sit. We have to do khalwat too, you know, we call it in irfan and in tazkiyah and nafs and in what spirituality, some trainings that we have to focus for few minutes with that particular ma'soom and imam on the shahadat and viladat or ba'asat or any Eid day. So just, you know, when whatever we do, if we do good deeds, we know he's a rahmatul alameen. You know what he says, because he's our father. Ana wa ali abawahu hadhi al-ummah. So we are just missing out our soul father. So what he says, whenever you do good deeds, I just say thank to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because my child, you know, my soul child has done something good. Mm-hmm. When I say alhamdulillah to Allah, Allah will increase you know, your tawfiqat, you know, Allah will increase in your ni'mat. And whenever we do something bad, our father, he would seek forgiveness on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So this is the one of the meaning of mamati khairul lakum. Don't feel that I'm not there. I am there. And then his life, oh, you know, what can we talk about? Like, he was so much optimistic. Like whoever used to come, he would just, you know, like, just
change him.
Like khair, rahma, positivity, unity. For unity, he always looking for some excuses, you know, I feel that, you know, he was always totally ignoring all the miserable things which we are focusing, you know, like we just look at the
tiny things,
and he's just, his life, oh, his room was so, maybe we have talked about his room, how disciplined he was.
No.
Like, he would just, he would respect to items, to things, you know, how can we talk about the
humans,
living things, yeah, like his stick, his amama, like he would talk to his amama, sahab, that turban, sahab, come, I'm going to wear you, you know, the naming is means, you know, respecting, like he would talk to his goat, even aina, like he would say to his goat, he would talk to his stick, he would talk to his sword, and this is
so
something
much respect for
yeah
what was
something
around
yeah
him.
Out of, you know, our imagination, that, you know, he had three swords, and on the holder of sword, what was written? It is something amazing that, you know, Jalal or Jamal, both are there. You know, like how we say Allah is beautiful, and, you know, something Jamali attributes, and some are aggressive attributes, like he's a muntaqim, he's taking revenge, something like that. So we can see the combination of Jalal and Jamal in his sword, because he has written in his that holder place that whoever does bad to you, you have to do good to him. You know, like the three sentences are just amazing, that the peak of akhlaq, you know, the morality, it's so beautiful. Like don't be first in attacking someone, you know, like, it's so beautiful, like the way, you know, like whenever I just cleaning my house, I remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever I'm washing my clothes, I remember the way he's so much mehraban and kind towards his dressing. Like he's talking to his dress, he's saying, one of the hadith says, he says to Umm Salma, for example, Umm Salma, how come you have stopped the tasbih, you know, the way my dress was glorifying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you have stopped it. So she said, how? She said, because it's still dirty. So the moment you wash again, you know, they are just doing ibadat.
Right.
So look at the, you know, he's giving life to each and everything.
Right.
Then it comes to plants, you know, the way he would talk to the trees.
Right.
You know, we have ulama until now, they will get up, mashallah, for salatul layl, for night prayers, and they talk to the trees, they go to the yard, and they do some deep breathing. You know, it all comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think we are running short of time.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I was really enjoying listening to you. I hope that today we take some time to really think about what is the meaning of the Prophet being sent to us as Rahmatun Lil Alameen, all of this war going on within the Muslims. Is this really compatible with the teachings of the Prophet? Isn't it true that we have one Prophet, one Qibla, one Qur'an? We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Yawmul Qiyamah, and these are all the gifts that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. I hope that today we can really reconsider our duties and our actions as Muslims and his followers, inshallah. I would like to express my congratulations to all of you once again on the occasion of Eid al-Mab'ath, the auspicious day that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen as the seal of prophethood by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was Light Upon Light. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another episode, may the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.